This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Thursday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Technology Thursday will give you some of the best gadgets of the Consumer Electronics Show. Delta Airlines saw improvement in the fourth quarter, still, though, posted its worst year ever. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, President-elect Biden is, as Lisa mentioned, expected to announce his pandemic relief bill this evening. We're joined by Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers. You can find him online at blueworldam.com. Matt, it sounds like this is going to be pretty big, $1.5 trillion, maybe $2 trillion.
Yeah, it does sound big, and there is, of course, a ton of speculation out there right now. As a matter of fact, I think the over-under is at $2 trillion, and we're already $4 trillion into this. So it's not just the number itself of incredible magnitude. This is piling on to what we've already done. And, you know, that is going to have an impact clearly for many, many years to come.
And as we're talking about, say, for example, the $2,000 stimulus checks, is it expected that if that happens, if that's a part of it, that that's money that goes out into the economy and spurs the economy? Or are some people saving it or paying debt and that sort of thing?
Well, the answer is, of course, all of the above. What has been shocking me, frankly, is the number of people who are anticipating getting the money, and regardless of the amount of money, who are telling me that they're going to turn right around and throw it straight into the markets. So we certainly have those people that are going to do things like pay rent and buy groceries. There's a lot of people out there that are also going to turn around and invest the money.
And then does that in any way create a distorted market when you have all that money flowing in at the same time?
Yeah, I'm afraid it does, especially if it's coming in on a lot of these, what I'll call these novice platforms, the run-up, you know, the assumption that the market is going to continue to rise just because it has is what always gets us into trouble. And as we're looking at the stimulus and all of the things that are expected, I think the market's going to see everything that it's looking for out of this. I think what's going to be more important is what we find. The headliner things in there are, of course, you know, like you were talking about, the stimulus payments, extension of unemployment, and that kind of stuff. The thing that interests me is there's also speculation in there on things like funding for cities and states, and that starts to smell to me a lot like the big stumbling block between Trump and Pelosi getting together on this. One of the big things was bailouts for some of these poorly run jurisdictions. I really don't know how the market's going to react if it turns out that a lot of that is in there as well. So the small print is going to matter.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens here, as it sounds like the president-elect is going to make a big push. $1.5 to $2 trillion will be his plan, maybe announced later today. That's Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers. Just ahead, Delta Airlines posts record losses as the pandemic strangles the travel industry. Later in the show, 12:39, Jennifer Jolly will join us. Technology Thursday, the best gadgets from the Consumer Electronics Show. Delta Airlines has revealed the financial carnage of the pandemic on its business in 2020. Let's get some of the details. Ken Goldstein is here, president of KJG International Consulting. Ken, always good to have you on the show. So tell us, just how bad is it for Delta?
Well, thank you. you, Cisco, for having me on. Well, it's not as bad as you might say. I mean, the big thing is Delta halved its average daily cash burn. Its average daily cash burn is now about $12 million a day, where it had been $24 million a day in the third quarter. And based on some of this news, Delta's shares were up 3% in morning trading. So go figure. But the long and short is they are facing a big loss for the year, which is par for the course. I mean, they're with all the airlines. They, for example, swung to a $750 million net loss in the fourth quarter versus last year they had a $1.1 billion profit. So revenues are down. Why the shares are up is because the analysts expected the earnings to be down, but the revenue, the estimates on revenue were higher. So that's kind of why they're there. But Delta's a fairly well-run airline. They're doing what they can. So this is part of the things to worry about. But I think it begs the issue of what the overall situation with the airlines is. You know, everyone's saying, oh, we're going to get all these vaccines into people, hopefully as soon as possible, and we're going to see the return to travel where the bookings are in the summer of 2021. But what we, I think, forget, there's a inverse proportion here. Right now, the vaccine goal is to get people 65 and above and first responders and all that. The people who travel aren't geared to get the vaccines until well into 2021, the younger people, the healthies, if you will. So we got to remember these situations. So it's going to be a while for the airlines to really totally recover, probably not until 2022, 2023. And the impact on the airlines not being there, and you can see it right here in Chicago. Look on Michigan Avenue, the lack of people shopping, the stores closing, whether it be New York, Chicago, whatever. You may have some domestic travel, but again, the people aren't flying. And until such time as we make people feel comfortable in an airplane, that's not going to happen.
Well, and it makes you wonder if you'll get some younger people maybe booking ahead, maybe with the prospect that they could end up getting the vaccine and they could be safe to travel. And because of the fine print changes, airlines seem a little more open to giving them some leeway.
Yeah, well, first off, the thing that's helping the airlines right now is very simple. The fact is you have a no-fee change policy. That has been phenomenal for the traveling public because they can make a booking and they're not locked into it and they can cut it or not take it if they don't go. But remember, the situation is right now, within the past few days, so the United States has said you can't come into the United States. You have a proven test record that you've proven tested negative. I think what's needed, personal opinion, is for people to fly, you need to test them before they get on the airplane. You need to make sure that masks stay on because you have too many people taking masks off. And then add another thing, test people when they get off the airplane. You know, remember, the situation, the COVID has turned things upside down. Until such time as you get rid of quarantines and things like that, people are going to say, wait a minute, why do I want to travel? Because if I get there, I'm going to have to quarantine for a while. So this is a big factor to consider.
And when it comes to those people traveling and feeling safe, I mean, we saw people over the holidays traveling, willing to risk it. I guess going forward, it's just a matter of whether they feel safe taking the leisure trips instead of just visiting family.
Well, for example, Southwest, they're seeing some increases going to beaches and things like that. And yes, you have people going to, like, Mexico, where there aren't as heavy a restriction as there may be here. But just recently, again, the province of Ontario in Canada has put restrictions on travel. As I said before, you have restrictions on travel without a test coming into the United States. One of the things have been for if we set up bubbles between certain locations, like Australia and New Zealand try to do, you know, and this way you could travel freely between the two. It didn't work. So we've got to get a handle on this pandemic. More importantly, make people feel comfortable in flying that they're going to be safe through the airport, on the plane, and at the airport of destination.
Thank you so much. Ken Goldstein, president of KJG International Consulting. Delta Airlines stock today is up right about 3.7%, $41.96 a share. Just ahead, Walgreens looks to credit and debit cards for growth opportunities.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Suburban-based Walgreens is turning to financial services in an effort to attract customers and grow its business. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Bruce Japsen, Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes. Bruce, so kind of give us a thumbnail sketch here of what Walgreens is doing.
Well, Cisco, Walgreens, as folks know, has thousands of pharmacies, drug stores across the country, but they also have 100 million loyalty members, you know, folks who, you know, can take advantage of discounts and coupons, all sorts of fun stuff. And they've been rolling out more financial services and financial choices to this large group of loyalty members. So the launching of the credit card is an extension of that. It's not that they're going to start, you know, turning their drugstores into banks or anything like that. But they've partnered with Synchrony and MasterCard, and they're going to be doing a series of financial services initiatives that they hope will grow a significant amount of income over time. And starting with in May, there will one of the first efforts is a reloadable debit card. So if you figure, a lot of people haven't been using cash since March, this could be a good business opportunity for them.
And I mean, potentially, given their reach, I mean, significant cash here without really anything put forward. You know, they're not putting any sort of a product out there, nothing they're having to keep on shelves outside of these cards.
Right, exactly. And I think Walgreens, you know, on the drugstore and pharmacy perspective, you know, they're trying to develop the quote-unquote drugstore of the future, as their CEO, Stefano Pessina, likes to say. And I think that they've fallen back a little bit because they had not invested like they should have in the technology arena, and they are doing that now. I mean, they're spending billions of dollars in upgrading their stores and their systems and so forth. So I think that people can look for them more. This is also an extension of that digital effort. But when you have 100 million loyalty members, if you get 1% of them to go out and get your credit card, that's a million right there. So exactly, they have a big market of loyal customers to begin with. So I think that this will be success.
Well, then you have, offers with the card. Hey, shop in the store, get bonus points, that sort of thing. You get them in the store more often, which is what they need.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do. And I think the folks who take advantage of it certainly will get deals, just like other folks who have, you know, their own credit cards where you get offers and so forth. So we'll have to keep an eye on this. I think over the course of time, they're hoping it's a significant income, and Wall Street would like to see that from Walgreens.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bruce Japsen. He's a Chicago-based healthcare writer for Forbes.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The level of security is being raised for next week's inauguration in Washington.
This is Craig Delamore. Members of Congress from Illinois, still reeling from last week, are worrying about possibilities of more mob violence on Capitol Hill.
In Technology Thursday, tracking down the hottest items at this year's virtual Consumer Electronics Show, the return of retail chain Petco to the New York Stock Exchange is a smashing success, as is the public debut of the online clothes reseller Poshmark. On the markets, the Dow up 95, NASDAQ up 30, the S&P is up 4 points, and oil is up nearly 1%. We have some clouds, a little bit of sunshine in Chicagoland, high today of 41 degrees, rain in store this afternoon, and a little snow in the overnight hours. Right now, it's 38 degrees. A major step is being taken to protect the security of the next week's inauguration of President-elect Biden, CBS's Steve Dorsey.
The Washington Post reports the National Park Service will close the mall next Wednesday. For decades, spectators have gathered there to observe the inauguration that traditionally includes a swearing-in at the west front of the Capitol. It means crowds will be kept far from the building as metro stations shut down along with roads.
Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
Illinois lawmakers are worried about the possibility of a repeat of violence at the Capitol.
Naperville Democratic Congresswoman Lauren Underwood admits the fear of violence is real among her and some of her colleagues after voting to impeach the president a second time. And there have been threats following last week's Capitol building assault. So she says the Secret Service and other authorities are assuring lawmakers they can be kept safe at next week's inauguration.
I hope that we do not see more death and destruction. But I think that everybody here is standing by on very high alert. And yet we will not stop our work.
Including the work holding people accountable for what happened last week. Craig Delamore, News Radio, 105.9 FM.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. Things are positive on Wall Street. The Dow up 99, NASDAQ up 29, and the S&P up 5 points. Oil up nearly 1%. Let's see what's going on. Mike Larson is here, senior analyst at WeissRatings.com. Mike, it's good to have you back on the show. What do you make of what you're seeing on Wall Street today?
Sure. I think Wall Street is heavily anticipating whatever stimulus news is going to come out of the Biden administration. We're going to get a speech later today that's going to have some details. And of course, there's been some news leaked about what kinds of trillions of dollars in spending we're going to see, you know, what exact form that's going to take between $2,000 checks, between aid to local and state governments and so on, and all these other things that will ultimately filter down into the economy and into the companies that trade on Wall Street. So everybody's kind of waiting with bated breath, but they're anticipating, due to the fact that Democrats were able to take control in those Georgia runoff elections of the Senate and already have control of the House and the presidency, they're really anticipating a shift towards more inflation and growth boosting fiscal stimulus, as opposed to a lot of the monetary stimulus, which has mostly flowed into asset markets over the last year or two.
So does that end up making things better for the companies that are more reliant, say, for example, on consumer spending?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a real shift in the last several weeks, and it's accelerated after that vote in early January. We've seen money shifting out of some of the more defensive, yield-focused type names that do better in a slower growth economy and into things that had long been lagging for the last couple of years, sectors that do better in a rising rate, rising growth, rising inflation scenario, things like transportation and financial stocks. So again, the overall markets have still been strong, but we've seen the character behind the scenes shift, where you've seen the growthier, more higher rate type plays doing better than the slow growth, low rate type names.
Given the fact that we're getting more vaccines going out the door, certainly not as many as we'd like, but we're getting more going out the door, does that at all change maybe an investment perspective? Some of the stocks that have been beaten down because of the pandemic, is it time or maybe past time to take a look at some of those?
Well, that's absolutely been a part of this as well. You look at these left for dead stocks, these stocks that have really lagged in sectors like travel, leisure, hotel, and on. On those types of names, you know, they're still facing significant financial challenges, but they are getting a lot of aid to try and get them through this period of little or no booking activity, and hopefully see a brighter day down the road, maybe third, fourth quarter of this year, when the vaccine rollout has really expanded and a greater percentage of the population is vaccinated and therefore willing to do some of the things they've spent the last year, year and a half unwilling to do.
And does that include some of the travel stocks that have really been hammered? I mean, you have Delta Airlines today. Their report was essentially, hey, it's not as bad as it was.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, these kinds of companies have received government aid to try and get them from point A to point B, this long valley of very little or no activity in some cases when it comes to cruise lines. And so I think that's what they're trying to do. And I do think that, you know, you're surely seeing some speculative buying in those names because, again, people are looking to the future and hoping that by the end of this year, we'll be in a much better place with the pandemic and see much more willingness for people to go on vacations and to book cruises and so on.
The tech sector has been one that has been really great for growth. Do you foresee that continuing, or are some of those stocks just so expensive that they just can't really keep the growth going?
Well, it's interesting. Again, those names obviously performed very well during once the pandemic set in and people were working from home and ordering from home and doing all these things in much greater percentages than they were pre-pandemic. But just as you saw a lot of money flow into that sector when things were looking the worst for the broader economy, if you accept that vaccination is going to pick up, you're going to see fiscal stimulus and you're going to see a higher growth rate and inflation pick up, you're going to see some of that money rotate out of the stay-at-home type names and some of the overvalued tech stocks and rotate into those beaten down, more depressed companies in the value sector, again, financials, transportation, industrials, and so on, that would arguably perform better or get a bigger sort of kickstart coming out of the economic downturn that we've had.
Thanks so much, Mike Larson. He is senior analyst at WeissRatings.com. Up next, Technology Thursday, what's causing a virtual buzz at this year's Consumer Electronics Show.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday, the Consumer Electronics Show, taking place online this week. Let's look at some of the coolest gadgets and items. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of TechIsh.com. Jennifer, I always loved previously having you in the studio. You'd bring gadgets for us to play around with, and now it's all virtual. It's just not as exciting, is it, to be watching all this online?
I didn't think I would be as excited as I absolutely am today watching this unfold online. It's a bummer not to be there going hands-on, eyes-on, face-on, you know, with all of these gadgets. But my jaw hit the floor when I saw, like, these new bionic contact lenses. I can't believe what we're seeing this year. You know, while I spent the whole past year trying to put on real pants, people made the most incredible inventions I've ever seen.
So let us, kind of let us know some of these here. What's maybe the most exciting one you've seen?
Well, the Mojo lens is a contact lens that is as close to a bionic eye accessory as anything that I've ever seen. I mean, it's AR contact lenses that give your eyes magical superpowers. There's a teeny tiny display embedded within the contact lens itself. It's about the size of a grain of sand. It projects images and information subtly in your peripheral vision as you walk down a street, cycle up the hill, or gaze up into a night sky. So it can access information of any kind that's currently available on the internet. So you're walking down the street, it can tell you the weather. It can show you your appointments, the name of the street you're on, even the name of a person who walks up to talk with you in a room. So it's absolutely unbelievable. The founder of the company thought of this because he's vision impaired. He's visually impaired. So he said, their goal is to have this out within the next year or two for the visually impaired, but eventually as a consumer device that will really end that problem of sort of breaking contact with the outside world and staring at your smartphone for everything that you need to see.
Have they explained how it works in that, are you talking to your eyeball and then it's doing this and letting you know what information is available?
It says right now it will learn what's important to you. So to me, that means you program it, you help it learn kind of like any augmented reality or artificial intelligence gadget that we're using today, such as smart speakers that we have in our house that learn over time what we're interested in when we're interested in knowing it. I think that there will be, right now there are no microphones embedded in it, so it won't be talking back and forth with your smartphone, but I do think that it will be able to show you text messages, but you would have to have some physical button, maybe a ring on your finger that you push to respond.
Oh, interesting. That's Mojo Vision. Tell us about robots.
We have seen robots in every shape and size this week. I'm really interested in one called the Cutie. It's Care Clever's Cutie. It's not as cute as some of them that we've seen. It's not furry. It doesn't have a heartbeat. It's not cute. But what it has that the others don't is that it's actually out. There are 40 or so of these robots out in the world right now. They're specifically aimed for seniors. It kind of looks like a tablet on a tripod, but it rolls around and comes to you. So it can bring companionship. It can bring care, concern. If a senior falls, it can roll over to where they are. It can't physically pour you a glass of wine like some of the other robots we saw this week, but it's really cool, and it fills that gap of someone who's lonely, who's isolated, who needs some sort of connection with the outside world, and this robot companion is it right now.
Yeah, a little bit of help, too. Anything automobile-wise and anything sort of groundbreaking?
Well, we saw flying cars again. Now, it isn't the first time we've seen these concept flying cars, or really more like self-driving taxis, but we saw a couple that are just, Google it the first chance you get. The Cadillac personal autonomous vehicle is a design concept to let families or groups of friends spend time together on the way to a destination. So it's basically a car that drives itself without anybody actually driving it. So it lets passengers hang out in the outdoors, you know.
Wow.
But also to turn toward each other and, you know, talk to each other, hang out. And then one of the other ones that we saw, that it looks to me like a transformer meets a kind of a tiny helicopter and meets something even cooler than anything we saw in the Jetsons. But it's GM's EVTOL, and it's these kind of concept cars for getting around short, like air taxis, for going short spaces from the office out to lunch. Not so much for long distance yet, but yeah, the flying cars are here. And here's the thing to think about when you see, right now a lot of these things are concept, but so was the Roomba robot vacuum when we first met it not all that long ago. So this is stuff that's, you know, 5 to 10 years away.
Really exciting. It's just so interesting to see at the Consumer Electronics Show all these items that seem almost space age, you know, like we'll never have it. And then they do show up in our living rooms and our driveways. Thank you. Jennifer Jolly, USA Today Tech Life columnist, founder and editor-in-chief of techish.com. That's Technology Thursday. This time tomorrow, Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come today, Petco hits a home run in its return to the public market, while clothing retailer, it's a reseller, Poshmark, Mark also scores big.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
There are a couple of market debuts today, one in the pet world, the other in resale clothing. Let's talk about them with Art Hogan, chief market strategist at National Securities based in New York. Art, good to have you on. Let's begin with Petco. What's going on with this one?
Yeah, Petco, this is the second time around in the public markets for Petco. So remember, 15 years ago, Petco was taken private by a group of investors, and it's just now reemerging in public markets. So this is the second time we've seen Petco as a publicly traded company. They've got about 1,500 stores across North America. They had about $3.5 billion in revenues last year, lost about $24 million in that. But, you know, understand, this is a company that's also in transition. So they want to serve all of your pet needs, not just what you're used to going into Petco stores for. So they're transitioning to both online and pet health. So some of their stores actually have a full range of pet services, including health and vaccinations and things of that nature. So interesting company. And we all know that the pandemic was very good for a surge in pet ownership. So it looks like a lot of runway in front of Petco.
Now, the stock up 60% today. What do you see going on with this stock?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, the IPOs that come out, you have to understand it's a small percentage of the overall float of these companies. So there's a lot of demand for new issuance. This is the first year. 2020 was the first year that we've seen the number of total stocks available to trade increase in about a decade. And that only means that M&A activity that had shut, you know, at combined companies was outpaced by the number of new companies that came out, either through IPO or SPAC. So I think that what's interesting is, even with that record year of IPOs last year, there's still a flood of demand for new companies to invest in. And when that happens, you get the kind of pops we've seen on opening days of trade.
Yeah, really, really interesting. Yeah, and then normally they come back to reality. Let's talk about another one, Poshmark. A lot of people not familiar with this, an online clothing reseller.
Yeah, online clothing reseller. They've actually been around since 2011. The online clothing or selling of your old clothes used to be something, you know, that would happen in consignment stores or thrift shops. And then eBay came around, and then that became popular. But Poshmark has really found a niche for people. 70 million total users of Poshmark, and their revenues grew about 28% last year. Really a cult following of Poshmark users, and it's great for the environment because you're not throwing these clothes away. You're actually recycling them. So the total addressable market to resell your clothes this year is about $30 billion. We expect that to grow to about $65 billion over the next 4 years. So a big market, plenty of room for lots of folks, and a lot of folks excited at Poshmark today.
Thanks so much. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at National Securities.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.